Welcome to the STC Foundations podcast. This year, as part of our GROW project, we're focusing on the Book of Acts and the New Testament letters. If this podcast is a help to you, why not pass the link on?
Hello and welcome to Wednesday's Foundations podcast. I'm James and I'm part of the team here at STC. I'm married to the wonderful Lucy. And we've got a little boy called Joshua, who is turning 2 next week. This week we're finishing with the Book of Acts, as we'll soon be approaching the season of Advent. There are only 42 days until Christmas. Don't worry, we won't be using this podcast as a countdown, although I can't really comment on what Alan will be saying next week. He really does love Christmas. As we've been going through the Book of Acts, we're now at the point where Paul arrives in Athens, and Athens was known as a place of ideas, one of the intellectual capitals of the world. I guess the modern day equivalent for us could be a combination of Oxford and Cambridge here in the UK. It had this sort of reputation that the ideas that won the debate in Athens, in the halls where philosophy was talked about, they would be the ideas that went on to shape the thinking of the world known at the time. In our story today, which will be read in full at the end of this podcast, Paul goes to a place called the Areopagus, this sort of debating hall where the chief thinkers, philosophers, the intellectual elites of the day would have talked through ideas. And he persuasively tells them about the greatness of God, the sacrificial love of Jesus, and that he rose from the dead. Some of them absolutely hate it. Others are transformed by it. So here is our big idea for us to think about today. And it's this. The gospel, that is the good news of Jesus, it's not just about private, personal peace. It's for the public square. In the very beginning of the passage that we're reading today, verse 17, Paul is described as reasoning in the market. This is verse 17 now. Paul reasoned in the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there. And a group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to debate with him. Some of them asked, "What is this babbler trying to say?" Now, Paul believed that the truths about the greatness of God and the resurrection of Jesus could stand up for themselves in the marketplace of ideas in Athens. So that is where he started to engage with people. Now, when you and I think of marketplace, we might think of Meadow Hall. Now, I quite like Meadow Hall, not so much at this time of the year, but on the whole, I quite like it. And as my wife will tell you, I'm very good at spending our money, especially on myself. But a marketplace in this story is more than a place where people just went and did their shopping or ate at McDonald's. It would be the place where people would go to hear the news of the day. I mean, they didn't have BBC News 24 like we do, or an app that pings the headlines straight into our pockets. If you wanted to know what was going on in the world, you'd go to the marketplace, because perhaps a herald would be there breaking the news. It would also be the place where business gets done. Of course, people would gather in their homes around the meal table and talk finances and business and commerce, but the main center of it was still the marketplace. It would also be the place where people would go to hear music or see art. The marketplace is this center of culture, finance, creativity. In Athens in particular, it was influential, almost as influential as Rome. And it is here that Paul shares about Jesus. In one commentary I was reading in preparing for this podcast, it goes into great detail about how Paul's arguments are so well structured and crafted in this part of the Bible. It is remarkable how he is disarming the dominant views of the day. Now, you might not be familiar with some of the terms that got read out earlier in the podcast, words like Stoic and Epicurean. I didn't know much about those when I first read this story either. But it is really impressive to see how Paul is finding the weaknesses in these ways of seeing the world by asking really great questions. We won't go into any more detail today in this podcast about how and why Paul is doing that, but it is really fascinating if you can find the time to read more into that. Here is what I want us to focus on. That Paul goes from the marketplace, this cultural, financial, artistic hub in the city, to the most influential public hall and proclaims the greatness of God and that Jesus is raised from the dead. As he walked the city of Athens, he prayerfully looked at what God was already doing in the city, and he found an altar to an unknown God, verse 23. And he used that to show the people gathered there that God is bigger than any of the other gods that they worship. And in depicting this greater God, he quotes some of their own historians and poets. And in verse 27, he uses their own words to show the intellectual elites, you know, deep down, you've actually longed for a God like this. That there is a God out there who holds every second of history in his hands. In him we live and move and have our being. That we are created by him, for him, and he is worthy of our worship. In this story, I just love the boldness of Paul. How he boldly speaks his faith. The gospel isn't just for private, personal peace. And we so often make it that. Yes, Jesus and his message leads us into personal transformation. We are no longer the same when we meet with Jesus. But it is also for the public square. These ideas of God are worth sharing. So let's pray today that we have eyes to see the signs of the times that we're in. The things that God is already doing in our day and age, and have a boldness to speak about his greatness and that Jesus is alive. Let me pray for us today. God, thank you for this story. It really is amazing. There is so much here for us to learn. Teach us today to have an awareness of what you're doing and a confidence to speak about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Acts 17, verses 16 to 28. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogues with both the Jews and God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to debate with him. Some of them asked, "What is this babbler trying to say?" Others remarked, "He seems to be advocating foreign gods." They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Then they took him and brought him to a meeting of the Areopagus, where they said to him, "May we know what this new teaching is that you're presenting? You are bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we would like to know what they mean." All the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' So you are ignorant of the very thing that you worship. And this is what I am going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations, that they would inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far away from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring."
A thousand times I fail, still your mercy remains. Should I stumble, I'm caught in your grace, everlasting. Your light will shine when all else fades, never ending. Your glory goes beyond all fame. remains, the art of losing myself in bringing you praise everlasting. Your light will shine when all else fades, never ending. Your glory goes beyond. Cry.